everybody, and welcome to the Governor's House. It's Larry Sharp. I'm running for governor of New York in 2018. So come by, vote for me, November of 2018. I do this show every week because I want people to be able to call in, talk to me, ask questions, and I will answer them. I want to make sure that people understand that when I'm going around talking to people, that I will take any question. This is the odd thing. Usually when I go on to media, when I go out in front of people, people ask me, Larry, how in the world can you win? And I tell them a very important thing. I can only win if people talk to me. Because people talk to me, then they'll get it, and then they'll tell others. And that's the whole hope. I want people to do that. So what winds up happening is people are often surprised, so surprised, that when I actually come out, I actually take any question, I will answer every question, and even if people don't like the answer, it doesn't stop me. I will still give you the actual answers that are important to me. So if you want to talk to me tonight on the program, go ahead, 877-480-4120, or you can also text here, and I will try very hard to answer the questions. I don't have my campaign manager with me today. He's off to Texas. He has abandoned me, but that's okay. I still love you, Brian. It's all right if you're listening. So it is going to be actually just me today. Hopefully, I can still answer your question. I do have Sam as my engineer, and he'll be answering the phones, so that's also great. There's some good news I want to bring up today. The news I want to bring up is Andrew Hollister will be running as my lieutenant governor. That's what I want. I have a great Western New York lieutenant governor. People always asking me, Larry, how in the world can you understand what's happening throughout this huge state? And you're right. It's tough for me to understand what's going on in this entire state. So I was savvy enough to pick a running mate from Rochester. That's Western New York. And I wanted to make sure that he would be able to advise me, talk to me, help me out, make sure that what I'm doing is making sense also for Western New York. But the most important thing we've been talking about is decentralization. I want to cover that really quickly. There's an important piece I want to bring up that is critical to what's happened throughout many counties in the country, but it's clearly obvious in New York State. And that is local governments being actually run by either Albany, the capital city of your state, but in our case, Albany, or Washington, D.C. Why does that matter so much? Because in many counties, what winds up happening is we are mandated, which means you have to buy certain things. You have to do certain things. If that's true, that means all of a sudden your budget is now 90% already mandated. 90% already mandated. How can you do anything with your budget? You can't. You have no control. Why bother showing up? So what winds up happening is people don't show up to vote. There are certain areas in this state where if you show up for local government, you're in charge because no one else shows up. Oh, four of us showed up. I guess that makes you the chair and you the vice chair and you're the secretary and you're the treasurer. Done. That's how it works because no one shows up. Now no one shows up because they think it doesn't matter. So now the only time someone ever shows up is because they're angry. I'm mad about something. I'm mad about this. I'm mad about that. So they show up and they're angry. So now they're angry against people who hardly ever see them. And naturally, it becomes an us versus them. That's how you get so many people who are upset and angry at local government. It's us versus them. They go into the back room and say, well, these guys never talk. Why would I bother? They only show up when they're angry. I don't care about these guys. They then create the rules, come out, and then discuss them and push them out like a royal edict. And then we wonder why. But there's something else that happens with these mandates. When you only have 5 or 10% of your budget to play with, and then you have some kind of setback, some kind of shortfall, people leaving your state, like over 100,000 leave our state every single year, you don't have enough money. So what do? You have to raise property taxes. That's number one. Or you have to use law enforcement as a profit center. So all of a sudden now, all the speeding tickets are doubled or tripled, or parking, you have to pay for parking, or pay for licensing so that all of a sudden the state or the county can make some more money. You start doing that. I want to break that. I want to break that by just saying, let's stop the mandates, both federal and state. If we stop the state mandates, you will see people have to vote for what they want. Now, people say, but Larry, if there's no state mandates, then we won't get things like we won't get pre-K or something like that. No, if you want pre-K, you can have pre-K. It's your budget. You vote for it. But how about you show up and vote for it? If you have to show up and vote for it, you can still get every single thing that you want, but you now have to be involved. And that's what I want. I want you involved in your local government. I want you to show up. I want you to care. I want better people in your local government, and I want you to vote for it. And now you'll decide if you want to pay those high taxes or not. Albany won't decide, or Washington, D.C. won't decide. You will. It's your money. You want to pay the taxes? Pay them. You don't want to? Don't. You can decide what you want to do in that regard. More importantly, though, if you start showing up, you'll start voting. Throughout this country, most of the people, 50% or so, don't vote. In New York State, it's about 70%. A lot of us don't vote. We give up. I want to stop that. Stopping mandates will make people care. They will show up and we'll actually have better local government. This goes to the next step I was talking about earlier, but the next step is, Larry, I hear this. How in the world can you in Queens know what's right for Ontario County or for, you know, for Rochester or for Watertown? How can you know? I can't. But guess what, Watertown? You can't know what's right for Queens either, or even. And that's good, because if I have local government and you show up, it's okay. I don't need to be the guy who knows everything. That's not how it works. All right, I've preached away a bit. I want to take a couple phone calls. I have, is it Robert on line two? How are you, Robert? Robert, are you there? Robert, are you there? Line two. Okay, maybe you're not there. Let me try Tommy on line one. Tommy, how are you?
Hey, Larry, I'm great, buddy.
What's going on? You like calling me. I like that.
Dude, I really enjoy talking to you. I don't have a question. I called to express a gratitude of thanks.
Okay. What did I do? I hope it was good.
Well, for one, you always look good, so that always helps.
Does help, sir.
No,
yes, it does.
Larry, you have stood by me. And stood behind me. You stood with me. You've helped me. And thanks to you, you know, my campaign is literally flying off the rails.
Oh, I love that.
You know, I'm gaining all this attention. And, you know, you pointed me in a lot of right directions. And I just wanted to call in tonight and say thank you.
You are more than welcome,
brother.
That
means the world to me.
Awesome. Look, this is a movement. We're trying to change the way government is, right? Most of
exactly.
The time what you have is, and with the two-party system, it is first the left wins and then imposes its will upon us. Then the right wins and the right imposes its will upon us. Note the common denominator, imposing will upon us. That's the common part. I want to stop that part, right? We get mad if our guy doesn't win, right? If you're a Republican, you're happy because Trump's in charge. Yay. If you're a Democrat, you're mad because Trump's in charge. Boo. And then next time when someone else wins, a Democrat wins, you're like, yay, my guy wins or whatever. I want that to end. I want this, as I say it often, I'll say it again. We are the vanguard. We are the change. We are the new form of government. It's a form of government that says, I don't have to know everything. I just want to protect those people so that I can make sure that I protect individual rights. And I want to facilitate people moving through and finding their own happiness. That's it. Tommy, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. Good luck. Keep me in the loop, okay?
All right, brother. No problem.
Excellent. Have a good night. Great. All right. I now want to grab, if I can, Jerry. Line one. How are you, Jerry?
I'm doing better than most, but not as well as some. How are you doing, Larry?
I'm with you on that one. I can't complain. What's going on?
Got a couple of things. First off, my business is a mediator, and I really appreciate.
I'm sorry, your business is what?
You are able to a mediator.
Mediator, thank
and
you.
I appreciate how you're able to take the libertarian message and put it into a way that doesn't just seem so harsh and bad.
Yes.
But over the past 2 days, I've spent 8 hours at the DMV, the Department of Motor Vehicles.
I know.
And I would like you. I would like to get your idea about how it is that government can. Is there anything that can ever be done for a government to actually care? I'm going to go ahead and take your answer to that offline, but it seems like no matter how much government says they care, they don't. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and that's the issue. Government is very good at certain things, right? If you want to imprison a lot of people quickly, hard to beat government. Really good at that. If you want to kill a lot of people quickly, lots of them, hard to beat government. They're very good at those two things, of course, but they're also good at something else. They're very good at checking a box, right? Going through the motions when it comes to bureaucracy. When you want bureaucracy or boxes checked, again, tough to beat government. I mean, they're really good at that. These are things they're good at. And that's what government does well. So that's what it usually does. Whenever you create a government program, what happens is people don't do things well. What they do is they check the boxes well. The problem is what happens is, okay, I'm going to help people with X or help people with Y. Well, government then sets a list of what does it mean to give people X or give people Y, and who fits in one box, what box to get package X or package Y or package Z. And they do it very well. The problem is people don't fit in the boxes very easily. And if I'm trying to put you in a box, I'm not trying to care about you. I'm trying to put you in the box. And if you don't fit in that box, I'm going to squeeze you in the right box and give you the stuff. And when I give you the stuff, I'm going to check the box and say, I gave you the stuff, and I'm going to walk away. And now that's success. When someone's in trouble, whether they're in physical trouble, mental trouble, financial trouble, insert trouble, it doesn't matter what kind of trouble you're in. The first thing you need is not a plan. It's not a program. The first thing is someone who cares. If you get someone who cares first, you can then find the right plan, the right program, the right whatever you need, but someone who cares first. So how can you get government to care? You actually can't. So what you can do instead is shift where your tax dollars go. And here's a plan we've been coming up with, my team and I have come up with, and it's an idea of a charitable choice credit. This is an idea that if you have to pay taxes, right, you pay taxes anyway, right? So you're gonna pay your taxes. You can take up to $500, $250 anywhere in a state, plus $250 anywhere in your county. So if you want to put it all in your county, that's $500. It's to promote localism, right? Local government, local people. You can give that to a charity, and that comes off your tax bill. So you're going to pay it in taxes anyway, but instead, you put it into a charity. What does that mean? The charities now can literally get millions of dollars, if they want to, that would have been taxpayer dollars, and go directly to them. Why is that a good thing? Because the charities now can actually do some of the jobs that government would have done. Who are people in charities? People who care. But more importantly, when charities push the government for money, they then lobby the government. Who becomes their customer? The government, not you. If the government is their customer, all they care about is keeping the government happy. Government will say, check a couple boxes, you're set. But if you have to decide every year where your tax dollars go, you are the customer. If you're the customer, the charities have to lobby you, which means it isn't about checking a box. It's about doing the job well. And if they don't do it well, you won't give them the money next year. They will have to begin to lobby you. It takes a level of corruption out. It takes a level of bureaucracy out. And not just that, charities that go for government grants are always more bureaucratic, less efficient, less effective than those who have donor bases. So you're creating a donor base. Now, again, this is voluntary. If counties don't want to do it, they don't have to. If your county likes what the government agencies are doing, go on with your bad self. I'm glad your government works for you. If it doesn't, you can now start to use this idea to start putting in more services directly from the people into your county locally. That is a home run. This is one way we can get government to care. They're not actually caring. They're facilitating us caring. And then slowly, counties can decide how much and what services they want to put into the charities. They can pick. Again, if your government's doing a good job, awesome. Good luck for you. I'm glad. If it isn't, these are ways for you to make this happen. We'll add this, and we can even raise that to 1,000, 500, whatever number it is. We can keep that going. But the concept is now I want charities not worrying about RFPs, not worrying about the government deciding who's right and who's wrong, but instead going directly to you. Do you like what I'm saying? Does it make sense to you? Do you want others to do it too? Support me. www.larrysharp.com. Sharp with an E, because E stands for electable. So make that happen. Support me. Whatever you can do, $100, $25, $50, go ahead. Support me so I can keep doing this. I'll be back after the break.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday, 9 to 10 Eastern Time, and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential. Live life your way on talkradio.nyc.
Do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
Larry Sharp at the Governor's House, 877-480-4120. I'm so glad you guys are listening to me tonight. When you have a chance, give me a call and ask me some questions. Happy to answer them all. Some of them I'm going to pick up off of the feed here. I want to grab Rick. Rick is online too. How are you, Rick?
Hey, Larry. Pretty good. Thanks for asking.
Absolutely. What's going on?
Hey, Larry. We actually met and spoke briefly here in Utica at the little coffee shop there and spoke about my business and everything. But question I had for you here really was, are there any actual plans to try to get better support for upcoming, startup businesses that are, you know, really good benefit to even just society, not let alone just to bring, you know, money into the area? But, I mean, trying to get, you know, grants, especially just on the state level, let alone the federal level, try to, you know, get funding for this. I mean, is there any ways or is there any solutions?
Yeah, there are a couple things I want to do.
Small business.
Yeah, I want a couple things I want to do. And the first thing is in New York is we always try to attract big business. I'm not against big business. I like big business. A lot of my clients are big business. So I make a lot of money off big business. So I'm happy when there's big business around. But the problem is in New York State, not New York City. In New York State, we bribe people to show up. We bribe big business. We say, here's X billion, here's X million, here's X tax breaks, so you can show up. Now, here's the problem with that. When you decide, hey, I'm going to give this place, this company, you know, $10, $20, $30 million to show up to some place, the people who are paying for it are the competitors, the small business. Literally, the small business people who live there are actually paying taxes so that that person can, that big company can come in. So the first thing I'm going to do is stop that. No bribing big companies to show up. Somehow big companies show up in New York City all the time. Somehow small companies show up in New York City all the time. And it's a disaster doing business in New York City. But somehow they still show up. Well, there's two reasons why they show up more than anything else. One, talent pool. There is an amazing talent pool in New York City. New York City has so many people who come from different countries, different areas of the city. So much talent in New York City. That's amazing. Second piece, so many bodies. A customer base is here. You have 8.5 million people in the city, 16 million people in the metro area. So lots of talent, lots of customers. People flock to New York City, even though it's a disaster to do business in. I want to bring that same concept to other parts of New York State, Western New York, Central New York, North Country, Capital District. I want to bring Southern Tier. I want to bring that. I want to bring talent and people, and you will find more businesses want to come. That's the big business piece. Now for your small business piece. I want to give The reason why I had to bring up big business is big business very often has an unfair advantage against small business because of the bribes, and it crushes small business. So first, remove that. But the second piece is helping out small business. Several things we can do there. Number one, if a small business, to include a farm, decides that it agrees that it will only sell within New York State, we can have it with the sign of a piece of paper. I agree that I will do that. We can make them immune from federal regulatory bodies. We can set that law up. So it's being done in Wyoming. We can copy it. When that happens, all of a sudden, a local business that just wants to sell locally will now have some advantage that maybe have to match a bigger business. Now, bigger businesses always sell across state lines. Small don't always. So we'll help small business that way. The second piece we can work with small businesses, that is simplify the tax code. I want this tax code to be so grossly simple that any business could literally do it in two pages. If you simplify the tax code, here's what will happen. Small business won't have to pay so much to pay their taxes, meaning all these accountants, things of that sort, and they won't constantly get stuck with fines and fees for not understanding what's going on and getting hammered, as they always do, for tax evasion and messing this up. And on top of it, big business with simplified rules will pay more taxes. The more detailed the rules are, the more that big business gets away with it because they have the lawyers, they have the accountants to get around it, and they actually wind up paying less. So instead, simplify the tax code. The small business will not have to pay as much to do their taxes and will not be punished as much for making errors, and bigger business will pay more taxes overall, again, trying to even and level out that playing field. Oh, but wait, there's more. In addition, there's an issue right now with New York State where we have an NY Crib, which is the New York, I forgot what it actually stands for. Basically, it's our insurance board. We're the only state that has an insurance board. And it just makes things harder for New York State businesses to work with. That has to go away immediately. There are federal standards that work just as fine. What happens is that board makes sure that labor always wins against business. Not that I'm against labor. I'm not at all. But when you start punishing small business and act as though they're big business, you crush small business. Some big business can take a problem where they made a mistake with insurance or workers' comp or something. They can absorb that and handle it. A small business, they're finished. You have literally put them out of business. That has to go away. In addition, workers' comp. Workers' comp in New York State is one of the harshest in all of New York State. It ensures you have to carry workers' comp both for, and it's mandatory, both for, injuries that are work-related and injuries that are not work-related. Both. That's required. That's insane. That crushes small business. So again, that has to change. Last, I want to give small business an attempt, if they can. If you hire someone who is a felon, if you choose to do that, no payroll tax for the first 2 years. 50 people or under, no payroll tax. It gives the opportunity to do that, to help them out. And hopefully a small business owner tends to meet their people individually. And they can choose and say, is this felon someone who's violent and I don't want in my shop? Or is this someone who I can actually deal with, just made a mistake? And because a small business owner tends to meet them personally, they can have a personal relationship. And that, again, lowers the payroll taxes that both pay. It actually gives the individual a good salary, even though you can pay a lower salary. So the small business owner can pay a lower salary because they're not paying payroll taxes, and they won't pay payroll tax on the individual. Now, what happens all the time is people say, Larry, if people do that, they'll just keep hiring ex-felons, and they'll never, you know, hire anybody that's not a felon, and they'll never pay payroll tax. Good. Then they'll be training my felon population. Well done. They won't go back to jail. They'll have a second chance. I'm okay with that. No worries. I know I droned on for a bit, but did I answer your question at least?
Yeah, that does answer a lot of it there. My main thing was I'm saying just in general for startups to start up in that particular process. I don't know if they grants on the state level or anything that you're familiar or have.
You're asking a libertarian to grant, to put out grants. You know that, right?
Fair point.
Yeah. Probably not going to happen.
Touche.
Yes. Thank you.
Touche.
All right. Thanks, Rick. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
All righty. Have a good one. All right. Let me grab a couple of questions that were actually online. Someone asked about Stephen Colbert. Not yet. We're working on it. Hopefully they will say yes. I want them to. Please bug Colbert. Let the people know that I should be on the show. It would be amazing if I can get on. I would appreciate that tremendously. That's the best thing we have with Stephen Colbert. All right. Someone else asked about law enforcement. How I feel about law enforcement. I'm not sure what that question actually means. Perhaps I missed it. The idea of libertarians not liking law enforcement, there are a lot of libertarians who don't. That's true. Me, I'm not for or against law enforcement. They are an important part of enforcing the law, absolutely. The issue is I don't want law enforcement being used as a profit center. That I do not want at all. I want law enforcement being used for what most cops join the force for, and that is to get bad guys, right? There are people out there who are bad. I get that. People who create victims. I get that. So I want law enforcement to be used to get people who are either in the process of creating victims or who have created victims or who are threatened to create victims. All of those things, I absolutely want law enforcement to jump all over. Fraud, theft, murder, rape, yes, on it. You happen to have a plant in your pocket? Please stop. You happen to have a firearm in your pocket that yesterday was legal and today is illegal? Please stop. That's not what I want law enforcement to do at all. Now, I'm going to add law enforcement. I'm going to add a piece of corrections officers if I can. My father was both a cop and a corrections officer before he passed away. When he passed away, he was a corrections officer at Rikers Island. What I've heard from many COs since I've been traveling the state is that corrections officers often feel like they are zookeepers. I want that to stop. I want corrections officers to feel like they are corrections officers making a difference. That's what I want, to make a difference. I want to change the way we deal with both law enforcement and the prison system. Law enforcement should not be for a profit center, as I mentioned. It should be to stop bad guys. That's what I want. The second thing that I want to be talking about here is prison. I want CEOs to be able to help me create what we're calling CRUs, CRUs. These are community reform units. These are special units based off the Humvee program in Massachusetts. By the way, every program I bring up has been tested someplace else, right? The charitable credit, that's been done in Arizona. The localized bill for small business and farms, been done in Wyoming. This one, been done in Massachusetts. So I'm trying to grab what's already working. I'm using what America's supposed to be, a bunch of experiments, and picking what works best and putting it in New York State. That's what I'm supposed to do. I like that. So I'm trying to make that happen. So what I want to use is this idea of CRUs. It's like the Humvee. You take certain people from certain communities and you think will all work well together. And you put them in special units run by two COs and the rest run by volunteers. The COs pick who goes in those CRUs and what communities we use. Why? The COs know the inmates. The COs know, are there valid communities that should be together that will have a better chance of self-supporting each other so they can get out on parole, so they can get out and survive, so they can get back into the world themselves. Second, they know the bad guys who probably shouldn't be coming out of jail. They know the real thugs. And they'll be like, don't bring that guy in. So I need them to help me to actually have the corrections officers start correcting. So I hope that was kind of clear on my law enforcement and corrections officers. All right, you like what you hear? Support me. Go now. Donate. This takes my time, money, energy. This cost, it's important. If you want to do it, share. Let other people know I'm doing it. And support me at LarrySharp.com. LarrySharpe, which makes it special. LarrySharp.com. Be back after the break.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
Hello, this is Bruce Chamoff, host of The Web Design and Technology Coach. Join me and my guests every Tuesday from 8 to 9 p.m. as we discuss the latest in web design, social media marketing, search engine optimization, and technology. We also discuss popular topics, including WordPress, making money online, better Google rankings, and more. Every month, we also feature the best unsigned music from around the world, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
It's Larry Sharp here at the Governor's House. Thank you for being part of the show, 877-480-4120. Let me grab some more questions that we have. People ask me about Common Core and kids being tested in K through 12. Well, I could spend an hour talking just in education, but I'll be nice to you. I won't. Still have the idea of Common Core. To be forward, I am not against Common Core. I am against the mandate. I am sure there are some people who probably will learn better with Common Core. It's very few of them, but some I'm sure will. I want that tool to be a tool that teachers can use to teach kids. I do not want Common Core mandated. I want the teacher to teach however they want to teach with whatever tools they think will work best. That's what I want. So Common Core mandate is a bad idea. But if a teacher thinks Common Core will work well with a certain kid, go ahead. I don't care how that kid gets 2 plus 2 is 4. As long as that kid gets that 2 plus 2 is 4. I don't care how that teacher teaches 2 plus 2 is 4. As long as that kid gets 2 plus 2 is 4. So I am not against Common Core. I'm against the mandate. That should go away. That's a bad idea. Teaching to test. Teaching to test is a terrible idea. It is a terrible idea. Several reasons why. Number one, testing is absolutely no indicator of someone's success in life. Zero. No indicator. Why wasting our time? What testing does is it adds more administration to teachers. It's a way of keeping track of teachers, not students. Testing puts pressure on teachers. I don't want that. That's the wrong answer. So it's a bad idea. But even further, when we start testing them so young, there are some kids that don't test well. So now if you don't test well and you're in fourth grade, third grade, fifth grade, whatever that time is, you don't test well, you're going to be labeled. You're going to be labeled the dumb kid. How are you going to act if you're labeled the dumb kid? You're going to act out or you're going to act dumb. You call me a dumb kid, I'll show you. Of course you will. That's human nature. I don't want our kids labeled dumb. Testing labels our kids dumb. It is not an indicator. It puts heavy stress on kids. It has kids focus on testing when many of them should not be focused on testing. But then, Larry, how will we know? When will we take tests? You can absolutely take tests. I have an idea. Take tests when you're 14, 15, 16, thinking about going to college, thinking about being a lawyer, thinking about being a doctor, all those things. So I'm not a fan of testing until the kids are far older, and then they can go to prep schools and such and make that stuff happen, all good. Or they test when they go to college, whatever the case may be. They can test as they want to test. But teaching to a test is not for kids. It's for teachers. Teachers often ask me, well, Larry, how are you going to help us? How are you going to help teachers? Here's how. I'm going to remove a whole lot of your administrators. A lot of your administrators are going to go away. And when they go away, you will have freed up time, freed up energy, and freed up money. And your local school district will decide, should we put that money into more teachers, into teachers' raises, into resources? You can decide. And as long as you are transparent and other counties can see that, I'm okay with that. And you'll figure out the right answers. I'm totally fine with that. I hope that answered your question about Common Core and testing. All right. Another one about tax breaks for welfare recipients. This is an issue. I mean, it's hard. The problem with most of a public assistance is a lot of it's federal. Federal rules, federal regulations, federal everything. And it makes it tougher for us. But we're trying to come up with a plan which would be an insurance policy that an employer could buy or that an employee could purchase from the private market that would actually be almost similar to a disability policy in that here's the problem. Once you go past a certain maximum money that you make, then your benefits go away, right? So at one point, why do you bother? Why do you bother then getting off of – why do you bother working? Because you lose all your benefits right away. Does it make any sense? The system tells you to stay on the benefits. So what I'd like to do instead is in some way, shape, or form, get a system to where for every $2 you make after the maximum, you lose $1 of benefit. This way you can wean yourself off of public assistance. That can be an insurance policy. And in theory, it could be done for the federal government, but that's a monster to do. But that would be a good idea. I'm thinking about that, using that for disability, by the way, insurance here in New York State. That concept is, now again, if you make $1,200 a month in disability and you've got a kid, why in the world would you go work? Make $12 an hour, make $30 an hour? The system tells you not to. So instead, I would rather you have a system to where as you make more money, you begin to wean yourself off. You can get yourself off. And the people who feel like they don't want to, who feel like they want to work but can't, can begin to work. So I hope that was a good answer. But the idea of tax breaks for people who are on welfare maybe could work too. It would have to be limited in time to get people off welfare, to encourage people to give them raises, to encourage people to move up the ladder. I don't want someone to just sit there and get both. It doesn't seem to make sense. So that would be the right incentive. So I'm not necessarily against it. All right. People are asking me about how will I handle corruption. Corruption is a major issue here in New York State. As you know, people are constantly being arrested. And the problem with people being arrested is people think once someone's arrested, well, that means now we've done something. See, we've arrested them. So now we're making changes. We're not. Arresting people is bad, believe it or not, because you arrest them, they go to jail. That's great. They go to jail. Who benefited? Did someone get a great job because of it? Did someone's kid get a good education because of it? Did someone get a better education? Did someone gain anything because of it? Of course not. No one gained anything. Did you get healthier because of it? No. Just some guy goes, yeah, and we feel better because we showed him. That's it. But there's something worse. It makes us believe that we're fixing the problem when we're not. You have to actually change the environment. If that many people, and in New York there are a lot of them, are being arrested, that means the system's bad, not the individuals. They're bad too, but the system is drawing them in and they're acting as if they're special. I want to change the system. That's the critical piece. Here are some things we can do. As I mentioned, the idea of that charitable choice credit, which now takes the government out and puts more directly from you to the actual nonprofit, which means that nonprofit doesn't have to go through lobbying, doesn't have to go and say, oh yeah, by the way, I told you it was $1 million. I was kidding, $1.5 million. That's the first step. Second step, we have to get rid of all these boards and committees. There's an issue, let's create a board of regents. There's an issue, let's create a board for the MTA. Or there's an issue, let's create a committee to do this. Let's create all these things to do these boards to do these things. What happens? They are literally petri dishes for corruption. Governor Cuomo made over $800,000. He took that from his own people who he has put on boards. I didn't make that up. Check it out. It's literally that way. It's a bad idea. Get rid of those boards. Make individual people responsible for these issues and things and concerns, not boards that are unaccountable and give money to those people. Boards allow party loyalists to be rewarded, right? So my side wins. I get to impose my view upon you, and I get to reward my cronies with board selection. That has to go away. It'll help with corruption also. Last, we've got to find another way of raising money besides just taxation, right? So the idea of that, of course, I've brought up this before, is things like bridge maintenance, right? You've heard this before. I'll say it again. But here's the cool thing about it. If we actually get named the bridge, the George Washington Bridge, the now Mario Cuomo Bridge, horrible, named after our royal family. It's so embarrassing. If we actually named that for something else, say the Sprint Bridge or the Staples Bridge, whatever, if we name it the Staples Bridge and Staples has to pay $25 million a year to have it, they also have to get rid of tolls, no tolls, and pay for maintenance. Now, if all of a sudden Staples now has to pay for the maintenance, you think there's going to be corruption there? No, they're paying for it. They're not going to put up the stuff we put up with. They're not going to put up with the crap New York State puts up with. Now, does it matter if the guy who owns a construction company knows me or not? He's got to deal with Staples, not me. So again, the corruption begins to go away. The less money that government is putting out, the less things that government is bidding for, the less appointments the government is making, the less corruption. That, and on top of that, we want to make sure that we have an environment of transparency. Those two things will help us tremendously with corruption. I hope that answers your question. Now we're talking about sanctuary cities. Sanctuary cities is one of my tougher ones. People ask me about it all the time, the sanctuary cities. Here's the issue. I live in New York City. There is no way in the world New York City can not be a sanctuary city. Our city would literally shut down overnight. No way. So does that mean I want sanctuary cities? I don't want or not want sanctuary cities. I fall back to what I always say, local government. If your local government thinks it's right to get rid of illegal immigrants and you want to fight it, go on with your bad self. I don't have a problem. You want to help out ICE? Go on, help out ICE. New York City's not going to, and I'm okay with that. And some of you don't like that. Don't move to New York City then. That's my answer. Have your local government fix it. I was at one event and some guy said, Larry, I like most of the things that you say, but some things I don't like. But I figured out the things I don't like, I can fix locally. Yeah, it's exactly correct. That's what I want you to think. I don't want you to think you have to agree with me 100%. You don't. Because I don't know exactly what's right for your county, for your township, your city. I don't. I know that New York City, we're not getting rid of immigrants. Not going to happen. Okay. You don't like that? Don't move to New York City. That's my answer. You may not like that. I got it. But that's how it's going to work. And so I'm about local people deciding what they want to do with the immigration, whether they want to be sanctuary cities or sanctuary counties or sanctuary towns. Let them decide locally. That's what I feel. All right. I hope that was clear. Let me take a quick break. I will come back in just 2 minutes. We'll do the last segment of the show. LarrySharp.com. Support me what you can. $100, $25, $50. Look, I'm doing this. I'm not in front of clients. I'm doing this. I'm not making money. I'm doing this. I'm not with my family. So support me back with some type of campaign contribution to help me move this forward. I'll be back after the break.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on this show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Larry Sharp, it's the governor's house. I'm running for governor in New York State 2018. You want to talk to me? Go ahead, 877-480-4120. If you want to have questions or comments, please put them in the live feed, and I will try to grab as many as I can. Someone asked me about the MTA. You know, this one, I actually was misquoted once, but I'm kind of happy I was. I did an interview, and I believe it was Staten County, I think was the name of it, was the name of the organization. I think that's right. And they said that I said in an interview, I didn't want to give the MTA any more money. And what I meant was, what I meant was, I don't want to increase their budget. The woman who was doing the interview said, oh, he doesn't want to fund them at all. Zero funding. People thought it was kind of cool. People thought that's interesting. Now, I don't believe that. I don't believe I should not fund the MTA. What I'm saying is absolutely no additional money whatsoever. Zero. The average MTA employee makes $118 per hour. Yes, 118 per hour. The average New Yorker overall makes about $20 per hour average. The average New York City worker who tends to make a higher salary only makes about $30 as an average per hour. I'm not giving you any more money, MTA. Sorry, no. And not just that, there are people in MTA who haven't worked in over a decade, and their pension is over $300,000 a year. I'm not making that up. Check it yourself. That's a fact. The MTA makes a whole lot of money, lots of money. And a lot of that dollar is going in. When you swipe that card, a lot of that chunk's going to people's pensions and such. This is unsustainable. MTA, you must fix your problems with your current budget, not one extra dime. Currently, the mayor has had this great idea. He says what we'll do is we'll tax like Uber and Lyft and Via. We'll tax them, and then that'll be bring up enough money so we can fix the MTA. That's insane. That's like saying we're going to tax McDonald's so we can prop up Burger King. What's wrong with you? How can you possibly do that? That's insane. No. The MTA, number one, is run by some weird type of board. That has to go away. The MTA should go under the governor. You might think the MTA should go under the mayor because it's in a city. But the MTA does cross other counties. It goes on to Long Island, and it goes upstate into Westchester and other counties upstate. So it has to go under the governor. The MTA should be run overall responsibility by the governor. That's how the governor should run it. Unless you want to break these up and make them smaller companies, in which case you can have just the New York City MTA run by the mayor and then local run by local. That's fine too. But until we break that up, it's got to be run by one person, not by a board. The board makes it corrupt by default. No board, an individual who is responsible. And then no more money. But Larry, it might collapse. Good. It is collapsing now. It is unsustainable now. My city today, it rained in my city today. It rained in New York City. Rained. Just rain. Regular rain. Everything shut down. All kind of stuff. All kind of collapses. My city, New York City, is a modern city until it rains. Once it rains, New York City becomes Mogadishu. Overnight. It rained with Mogadishu. All of a sudden, things don't work. The subways go down. It's insane. It's embarrassing. So what do? I'm not making this up. Shut down stations for months to put in elevators. This is true. We shut down stations for months to put an elevator in. The trains don't run. Like, you can't go down and get a train. And you care about an elevator? Why? So it's easy to go up and wait? It's insanity. But more than that, we build secondary and tertiary lines because those look good. So now we have a bigger and wider crappy subway. I don't understand this at all. It's embarrassingly bad. But Larry, how in the world are you going to fix this? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give the MTA no more money whatsoever, tell them to fix themselves, and open up New York City to any other answer at all. I don't care what that answer is. I'm going to let everyone know I'm looking for answers. You tell me what it is. Now, we've already come up with answers. Some of you may know this already. We came up with an idea called Via. This came up naturally. It's a private company, and they basically just had cars drive around in a bus route. And you pay $5, and you get on the car, and you get off at a bus route. That's all you do. Now, I'm going to be clear about this. The bus route. To get in a train or bus in New York City, it costs $2.75. Via costs $5. Via was making money. People hated the subway so much, they would pay almost double to not be in the subway. Because once you go on the subway, you have no idea what's going to happen. At least in a car, you can get out and walk if you want. You can see what's going to happen. You have an idea. You have some control. People were paying $5, twice as much, to not get in the subway. That's how bad it is. And this is a great little quick story. I was in the North Country. I was in Canton, which is very close, for you people who don't know that area, is close to Canada. And a guy in Canton told me, Larry, let me tell you about the MTA. I wanted to laugh in his face. This is exactly the localization I'm talking about. Here's what I promised to do. I'm not going to tell farmers in the North Country how good or how bad or how bad the dairy farming is. And you don't tell me about the MTA. How about that? I know the MTA far better than you do. And you know dairy farming far better than I do. The MTA is an embarrassment. The MTA is a disaster. It hurts tourism. It hurts business. And here's the worst part is everyone is being delayed. What about those people who are being delayed? And that's a job interview. Right? That's a sales meeting. That's an entrepreneur going for his loan. And you don't know. Colossal waste of time that needs to be fixed. And the MTA will get not one more dollar from me. Well, Larry, how will you raise money? No worry, I told you. We're going to have other ways of raising money. As I said before, like naming rights on bridges, control of local and large roads, sponsoring roads. We already do the adopt a highway. We'll now adopt small areas. We'll put those. Remember that whole sign thing that the governor had? What was $8 million in signs and half the jobs weren't even in New York State? Half the jobs are someplace else? How about instead we allow local groups and or organizations and or companies to actually sponsor these sides of the roads, and now they can control them a whole different way. Revenue comes in, the roads get repaired, no more taxation. We just wind up fixing our roads. People are happy. This is a good deal. So the MTA, Port Authority, all of those things. Tolls are going to get out of that. No more tolls. And people get upset about the toll issue, and they should. People are saying, you know what we should do, Larry? We should actually charge people more money to come into the city. That's the right answer. No! The answer is let people decide if they want to come in or not. Provide them with a better option, and they won't use cars. I don't care if someone says, Larry, what about helicopters? Okay, is that an answer? Let's talk about it. I don't mind that. Let's make that happen. I don't really care what it is. Let's find out an answer, whatever that is. A bunch of VIA cars, a bunch of electric cars, a Google road. Insert thing here. I'm fine with that. I went a little off topic. But we want to get rid of the MTA, the Port Authority, all those things. No tolls. The rich people here in New York City, for those of you who don't know New York City, they live in Manhattan. They don't pay tolls. The people who pay tolls are people who can't afford to live in Manhattan. So if you want to help out people, get rid of tolls. But upstate, you've got tons of toll roads too. Those have to go away also. Tolls just hurt the middle class. Tolls are punishment for the middle class, punishment for the poor. And the problem is once you make a mistake in tolls and also you have to pay that $100 fine, for some people who make 12, 13, 14, 15 bucks an hour, that 100 bucks is a lot of money. That really can be a lot of money. So I went a little bit off topic, but I hope that answers your question on the MTA. Thank you. All right. People are talking now about, yes, corruption again, the Moreland Commission. All right. So let me be very clear on commissions to deal with people. I'm not against commissions against corruptions or ethics. I'm okay with that. I think that's fine. But I'd rather not create a commission because, again, commission is just people I pick, people I get rid of. And of course, our King Andrew, dear leader, he did it already, right? He created the commission. Then they started pointing the finger at him and he was like, ah, commission. What commission? Let's get rid of that thing. And he got rid of the commission because it was pointing the finger at him. So I don't want that. What I'd rather have is an actual office of transparency. Here's the issue. People are very concerned about, well, we have to have strict punishments. No, we don't. I'm not saying we shouldn't punish. But strict punishments aren't the answer. When someone's being corrupt, they're not thinking, I'll get 5 years or I'll get 10 years or I'll get 15 years. They're not considering that at all. what they're considering is, will I get caught or not? Because if I get caught, my career is over. That's what they care about, getting caught. The more transparency we have, the more chance they will get caught. They know that, the less corruption there will be. I will never be able to get rid of corruption. Nobody will. But can I shrink it? Yes, I can. Transparency will make less corruption. In addition, less money going through the government via appointees, boards, contracts will by default make less corruption. All right. I hope I gave you a lot of good answers. I hope you like this. I'm doing this because I remember the mayor of New York used to do this every week. I try to do it every week. I want you to be able to talk to me. I want you to know who I am, what I stand for. And if you keep asking me questions, I should be consistent. And if I'm consistent, you should believe me and you should trust me if I'm consistent. And I hope that I am. If you like what you're hearing, support me. LarrySharp.com. Whatever you can give, $100, $25, $50. If you can do an ongoing, please do that. Whatever you need to help is going to help me move this forward. If you like what you see and you want others to do it, share this. Maybe your people in your world, your people who are running your candidates and your government officials will start the same thing. This is the future. We have to be able to reach out to people directly. Thank you so much for listening to my show. I will see you all next week on The Governor's House.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, I am Dr. Tranquility of Dr. Tranquility PR, successfully meeting the media needs of the wellness community. As an expert myself for major mainstream media, radio, TV, and print magazines, I now help you book interviews for broadcast radio, podcast, television, and IPTV, as well as many, many magazines. Reach me, 212-920-1603.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on this show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.